Why does God allow wars? What does the Bible say about this? Dear friends, over 900 years before Christ's birth, King David's kingdom was divided. The northern kingdom was called Israel, and the southern kingdom was called Judah. They became enemies, and their armies fought against each other. Israel, the northern kingdom, was much larger. It included 10 of the original 12 tribes. This forgot the God of the Bible, adopted the pagan cultures of surrounding unbelieving nations, and intermingled and dispersed. The kingdom collapsed and came under Assyrian and Babylonian rule some 720 years before Christ. They all tried to overrun the southern kingdom and its capital, Jerusalem. At that time, the prophets Isaiah and Micah ministered mainly in the southern kingdom. It too was in steady spiritual decline. Threatened from the north, they looked to Egypt to resist their attackers. God's prophets strongly advised otherwise. The believing remnant was exhorted to submit to the Lord's will for them to experience defeat and exile, facing great political, economic, and social tensions. They were reassured of the unfolding of God's plan of saving blessing for all nations through the coming of the promised Messiah. His coming began what they called the latter or last days. Micah's fourth chapter and Isaiah's second chapter identically say, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it, and many peoples shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths.'" The prophet Isaiah goes on to tell of the spread of the divine message of peace to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. The promise was that God shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Then, exhorting the people, he says, "O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Isaiah's seventh chapter speaks more specifically of God's plan to personally intervene as Emmanuel, which means God with us. The name tells of God's presence and direct involvement. He says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, the child of the virgin, the one who does away with the instruments of wars, is further identified in Isaiah chapter 9 as the Prince of Peace. We read, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Obviously, this was not what the people of Jerusalem and their rulers expected. They longed for God to provide a miraculous military intervention. The prophet Micah, in the 4th chapter, states their reality. Now many nations are assembled against you, saying, "Let her be defiled, and let our eyes gaze over Zion." They were facing serious threats to their very existence. He described their fears. "Now, why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in you? Has your counselor perished? That pain seized you like a woman in labor?" They hoped for a powerful king and military leader like King David of the past to protect, lead, and deliver them from the encircling enemy armies. Or they sought a wise and shrewd diplomat like David's son, King Solomon. He would negotiate a smart diplomatic deal with their enemies. God's response was neither. Rather, they were promised deliverance through defeat and suffering. The prophets revealed that they must go through exactly what they were trying to avoid. "Writhe and groan, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor, for now you shall go out of the city and dwell in the open country. You shall go to Babylon. There you shall be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies." Even loss of statehood and exile to Babylon were part of the divine plan of blessing for them and for all nations. Neither they nor their enemies understood nor expected this outcome. The prophet Micah states, "But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand His plan, that He has gathered them as sheaves to the threshing floor." Yes, God called Abraham their great-grandfather and equipped him to serve the divine plan for the blessing of all families of the earth. Through chastening, they were being restored to service in that role. All along, this was designed to be accomplished through the coming of Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace. He was coming through the line of Abraham, his great-grandson Judah, to the royal line of King David. The prophet Micah assures God's people of their calling to hold different weapons, the divine weapons of peace, preparing hearts for the coming of the Prince of Peace, saying, "Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron. I will make your hoofs bronze. You shall beat in pieces many peoples and shall devote their gain to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of the whole earth." In the 5th chapter, Micah foretells the birth of the promised Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, in King David's hometown, Bethlehem. "O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth to me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." Friends, worldly kingdoms, empire, and nations of the earth will continue to war over perishing lands and resources, rejecting the Prince of Peace. Yes, Jesus said there will continue to be wars and rumors of wars. Yet, at the same time, He is Emmanuel, God with us, the Prince of Peace. His gracious gospel, through the gentle power of His Spirit, continues to establish His universal kingdom of peace. His citizens come from all nations, from all families of the earth. Hallelujah.